torrential downpour right now, so it seems like a good time to do an episode. Good time to do an update. You can hear the rain hitting my roof. So you guys have listened to the last couple of episodes. We've gotten some good feedback, which is great to see. And keep sharing those episodes. And again, feel free to download them and save them so there's an archive of that stuff. I feel almost like Fulcrum is the Voynich manuscript of those Podesta emails, right? The Voynich manuscript was this weird illustrated book from either the 13th or the 16th century. And that's part of what makes it so weird is that people haven't even... Wow, look at that rain. Wow. There's going to be flooding in D.C. today probably because this is like heavy downpour. Anyway, the Voynich manuscript, it hasn't been properly dated, but they think, again, either 13th or 16th century. And what's weird is everybody tried to decipher it back in the 60s and 70s and even the 80s. And nobody was able to really make sense of it. And, you know, the CIA tried to crack it and a whole bunch of people at University of California. And it was a big fascination of Terence McKenna's. He wrote about it in a couple of his books, and he's talked about it before in some of his lectures that are on YouTube. And he was intrigued by it because a number of people thought it was some kind of occult magic book telling you how to cast spells or something. And then other people thought it wasn't that at all, that it was actually some kind of political commentary that would have been banned if it was in, you know, normal writing at the time. And so that's the other theory. And what's weird about it is the most, as of 1987, the most credible theory, according to some, is that it was actually a secret book of the beliefs of the Cathars, if I'm pronouncing their name right. And the Cathars were this religious sect that was completely wiped out by the Catholic Church. And according to this researcher, who, again, is the most credible of these Voynich manuscript whisperers, he said it was actually telling people about the rituals and beliefs of the Cathars, or the Cathars, and that they worshipped Isis, the Egyptian goddess Isis. And he deciphered this from the manuscript. And the problem is that no other academic on the planet has come across stuff written by the Cathars. And again, I don't know if that's how you say their name, but no other academic on planet Earth has ever come across anything where the Cathars say they believe in Isis or they worship Isis, which is a little bit weird, right? Because a religion, even a wiped out religion, you'd think there'd be references in some of their stuff, and yet it must have been so absolutely secret if that is what they worshiped. And that would explain why the Catholic Church at the end of the day did not like them, right? Because obviously worshiping an Egyptian pagan goddess is not what the Catholic Church wants. And so those emails that were, everybody was destroyed over those emails aside from me. Everybody was destroyed, you know, and you could say, well, Alex Jones was talking about them. He's not a serious researcher, right? The moment I found out that he was supposedly paid to help promote that January 6th thing or to be there and cover it, whatever. When I found out, or when I heard in the news that he was paid by Trump, or by the Trump campaign, something like $500,000 for his role in the January 6th riots. And before that, so even if that's not fact, right, that's what I've read, but people love to smear Alex, so I don't know if that's correct or not. I assume it is for the time being, until I hear otherwise. But he was a suck-up to Trump pretty much throughout the whole 4 years, and there was like a critical thinking layer that just switched off, right? Just assuming this guy who, to me, as a smart person, it's so clear that Trump was just like a honeypot, basically, right? Because the way the intelligence community works is when you get close to the real thing, they do a limited hangout where they tell you a little bit of what you want to hear and you go, oh, wow, the doctor agrees with me. You know, to give you an example, it's like your doctor agrees with you that the vaccine's not right for everybody. And then you're like, oh, wow, he's leveling with me. Great. And then the next part is, but it's right for you. You're in the right age group. The vaccine's right for you. Let's get that jab in your arm today. Right. So that's the technique and the intelligence community will straight up say to you, yeah, we rigged everybody at Epstein Island, and kids are strapped into a fucking dental chair and tortured to death. And it goes back to ancient Babylon. It's very dark. It's very nasty. It's just part of what royal families are into. And if you don't like it, there's nobody to appeal to. And you go, wow, this government bureaucrat is totally leveling with us, telling us the real stuff. Meanwhile, it's just to suck you in, right? The Chinese Communist Party back in the day, and I don't mean to single them out. Pretty much every regime does this at some point. They have kind of a jubilee moment where they go, hey, let's hear from all the critics. What do you guys think? Are we doing a good job? You know? Seriously, we don't mean to put you on the spot. Just, do you think the Communist Party's doing a good job? Let us know. Truly give us your thoughts. And then what happens is the first few people come forward. And I'm thinking more of Eastern Bloc countries, like East Germany would do this, thinking more about them than Communist China. But the idea, again, is you give the people a little snack of truth, and that becomes the bait where you flush out all the dissidents, all the remaining dissidents, and all the remaining people who are not towing the party line, literally. These people are flushed out. They think, hey, it's time to share our thoughts. And it turns out, nope, you never had freedom of speech, and now you've just revealed yourself. And, you know, how feckless Trump was throughout the 4 years. Banned by YouTube, he just complains. And then that provides some kind of weird Overton window, where even though it's completely unacceptable that huge YouTubers like me and some of my friends were completely wiped from the internet because we came across these Podesta emails. And again, I'm like the Voynich manuscript, and Fulcrum is like that, because if we were to go under, there's like no remaining commentary on this topic. And again, Alex Jones is so busy cashing $500,000 checks from fat Orange Trump, so busy cashing those checks from Orange Man to give you guys more theater, more conservative versus Democrat nonsense. And so then it just disappears forever, right? And then there's nothing to even debate, because Julian Assange is in solitary confinement, and all the liberal journalists who are big fans of Julian have completely, you know, turned on him because of the level of Podesta spending on new media. You look at the top 100 news podcasts right now, click on Daily News, and of course we're in there, which is great. You look at the number of shows that are just like highly produced, high production quality QAnon shows. I thought QAnon was banned from Apple's platform, and I thought QAnon was banned from Pandora and Spotify. Well, now not at all. It turns out a QAnon show is fine as long as it's sponsored, as long as it's funded by a group connected to Podesta or connected to David Brock or connected to Chelsea Clinton. Then it's totally fine to host the QAnon show on Apple's platform as long as it's funded by a fucking legacy elite. And what's happening is that the people, even the people who follow QAnon stuff, are starting to turn against it because they sense it's not authentic. They sense they are being led on a wild goose chase. And in some cases, they're being led on that wild goose chase by literally the people who are implicated by these emails. And so that shows me that these people don't get the public is not that dumb. Right? So there was this little controversy recently where one of the QAnon shows, one of these big production quality shows I'm talking about, just popped up out of nowhere because it, again, is funded by some of these people in D.C. As Trump and QAnon are the same thing, essentially, right? Trump is the macro version for semi-normal people who believe in, you know, nationalism and believe in patriotic values and stuff, or limited government. As I've said before, Trump said all the right things and did none of them. Didn't legalize weed, was horrific toward crypto, had a totally anti-crypto Treasury secretary. People who say Yellen is bad for crypto. It's like, look at Mnuchin. The guy thought that everybody who had a crypto wallet was a criminal. I think Yellen is, you know, no worse than he was, probably a little bit better. So Trump was just to get all the loud people to come out and say, hey, this is what I believe. And the deep state says, hey, thank you very much. Time to yank all your platforms and influence. Thank you so much for your opinion. So just a softer version of what's done in actual regimes. Somewhat softer, but the same outcome. is that there's been this ideological cull in America, and the people who would have spoken up against the basically forced vaccine on, you know, a stretched premise that all these people are dying and yet hospitals are practically empty. Now they're not empty, by the way. Now the hospitals are packed because people are doing the elective surgeries and stuff that have been on backlog for about a year. Think about the number of deaths just from that. Just from all the people who needed to get surgeries of various kinds, elective and otherwise, and didn't, pushed it down the road. That affects your health. You know, if there's a surgery you're supposed to get, even if it's not like an emergency, and you don't get it, it affects your quality of life. You know, like everybody's quality of life has been so affected. And going back to the Voynich manuscript for a minute, those emails are important because if everybody's shown a light on them, or if even a few, you know, percent of the population were to look at it, it would all click. The same people with the same money think they own the rest of us. And we're entering a space economy, basically. We're at the very beginnings of a new kind of economy. And that means that these throwbacks from the Renaissance era, many of them made their money in Renaissance Italy and then branched out across Europe and then the New World, right, Americas. And then, of course, the Rothschilds made their money in Germany first and then branched out everywhere. And these handfuls of families that are, again, from the Renaissance era, they do not come with us into the space age. We don't need to beg these people for things that are just debt notes, right? The DeFi economy, decentralized finance, is taking off. People are seeing the crypto just seems to work better than satanic weirdos issuing rectangles of paper. And there's an interesting study where they gave monkeys metal tokens, right? They gave monkeys like an initial balance of metal tokens, and they created a fake marketplace where the monkeys could buy things they wanted from humans, I guess. I'm not sure how they staffed it. But I presume humans ran this market and not trained monkeys. Anyways, they all had metal tokens in an initial balance, and there'd be different prices. So some of the vendors in the market would give you a better deal on bananas or give you a bulk buy if you bought more, etc. And what they found is very quickly the monkeys did not operate in a random animal-like fashion. Instead, they developed a sense of economy. Isn't that wild? They started to go to merchants that offered them a better deal on whatever fruit they wanted, and they would refuse to do business with merchants that were overcharging, etc., and learn to conserve their balance and all the rest, just like humans do. And so if a monkey's able to optimize so that it doesn't get screwed in the marketplace, you don't think humans can do the same thing when you're seeing sad elites emailing each other back and forth frantically, frantic excitement over slices of pizza and walnut sauce? Do you really think that's just walnut sauce? Do you really think that's just a little bit of walnut sauce that gets splashed on some pasta, on some risotto? And that's what the most powerful people in DC are emailing each other back and forth about from their off-record private email accounts? I mean, shit, folks. If you believe that, what else are you willing to believe? So again, the QAnon thing that's interesting to me is that these shows have suddenly been allowed back on as long as they're shows that are funded by the Brock media stuff. And they just kind of dunk on truthers. You know, it's like they're not even real QAnon believers. It's interesting. They just are like these pop-up fake journalists. And they dunk on truthers all night and day. And you can see that even the remaining QAnon people, I don't have a lot of respect for their caliber of intelligence since they've been played for so long, but even those people are starting to resent it. These high production quality shows mocking them, right? And it's like, ultimately, what is outrageous about what's in the Podesta emails? Aside from that it hasn't been prosecuted, what is outrageous? You know, every single person at January 6th, if you spit a piece of bubblegum out on the sidewalk on January 6th in D.C., they used facial recognition on these people. You know, the whole nine yards. Like, this showed what the government's capable of. And so why wasn't this same law enforcement armada, why wasn't this deployed on every single freak in the Podesta emails? We don't care about child traffickers being so close to the halls of power. We don't care about suspected child traffickers and people who are lifelong friends with Jeffrey Epstein, being so close to the people who make the decisions for our country. And yet every grandmother at January 6th was facially, you know, they got them through facial recognition and sifting through phone calls and text messages and stuff. That's what should have been done 4 or 5 years ago when those sick emails came out. Instead, it was just a crew of bullshit artists who turned against the real truthers and then shoved QAnon down everybody's throat for an incredible 3 years. Now almost 4 years, right? If it started in 2017, that means we're in year 4 of Q. How can you still believe something or follow something that's gotten everything wrong? Just like Trump, it's like, I got some spam email from Trump today. Will you support me or some shit? No. No. You had 4 years. You were a total joke. No. And so once it clicks for you, these people are all fucking friends. You know, Trump was friends with the Clintons for about 25 years before he ran against Hillary. So they play us, and it's because three families own 30% of the dollar. If that doesn't outrage you, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Again, even monkeys get outraged when they see unfair prices. They move away from those merchants, and they go to where their little metal tokens are treated best. And humans aren't that much different. And you read that these people are totally mocking us behind closed doors and are totally evil, you know, just objectively evil sacks of shit that have been inheriting their money. And so that kind of creates a separation when you don't have to work for your money. They come up with all these ideologies for why they're so special. And they're not special at all. You know, they're not special even remotely. I had a guy ask me the other day, this comes up every few months or so. Guy asked me what I think of David Icke, or David Icke, however you pronounce it. What do I think of him and his stuff? Well, aside from the fact that his worldview is entirely wrong and ridiculous, and again, seems to be some kind of limited hangout or a psyop to just disrupt the truth community and distract people from what's real, right? Again, to say that the Podesta emails, oh, that's that David Icke stuff. No, You're not gonna smear real emails with space lizard bullshit, right? So to answer the question about David Icke, I don't think that guy is even remotely credible. And if what he was saying was so damaging to the British royals and to like 80% of all presidents and stuff, or whatever the claim is, right? His stupid claims about everybody's a shape-shifting lizard. I just think the guy would not be allowed to say what he says if it were the truth. If we're even close to the truth, he would not be allowed to do packed auditoriums where he's a rock star like the Tony Robbins of the truth community, right? Tony Robbins of conspiracy theorists, and gets out there with a microphone and talks to you for 2 hours about how everybody is a shape-shifting lizard. It's bullshit. These are just frail people. Frail people in an actual cult. And the adrenal gland extract stuff, that part's real. I talk about this in my book. My book, which goes into the transition from these Renaissance festival families to a proper space economy. You know, the Methalox engines that Elon Musk is building, they cost so little to launch, and you can build so many of them, to think that we need to be depopulated or sterilized by this handful of fucking fruitcakes. I've met some of these people face to face. These handful of fucking fruitcakes, completely human, completely frail. Some of them wear flat therapeutic shoes because they're so fucking weak. They got problems walking, right? A lot of these people are in their 60s and 70s, wear these therapeutic flat shoes, and they call themselves the elite. These people are just legacy trash. As the space economy comes online, your ability to launch stuff and your ability to be off-world becomes the new social status. That's the new money. Not some rectangles of paper that are made up by satanic monopolists, right? The 1913 creation of the Federal Reserve. Not that shit. It's how much can you launch into orbit, and how quickly can you get off-world, and can you survive off-world? Those will be the new kind of status symbols for the rich, and then for everybody. And so as that happens, the need for a different kind of money really comes in my opinion. And so that book goes into a lot of interesting stuff that I think you guys would appreciate. And it's not a book just about space stuff, because again, the thing to understand is that we've had an elite class that are totally bizarre. You know, totally not what you would expect, that they're addicted to adrenal gland extracts, that they're doing these occult rituals that are probably not that much different from the stuff in the Voynich manuscript. You know, there's supposedly a bloodbath. It's called the Endura, the ritual. The Endura is described in the Voynich manuscript. There are illustrations of it, illustrations of these like deranged-looking naked women bathing in a bloodbath. And that's depicted according to one of these guys who researched it. It's depicted because of one of the Cathar rituals. They actually slit their veins and then they die in a pool of their own blood. I mean, the Cathars in some ways were quite extreme, obviously. And so spirit cooking, which these people believe in, spirit cooking is the modern day equivalent of that. Except it's not, you know, you're not slitting your own veins. You're sacrificing somebody else, sacrificing another human being, and then dousing yourself in their blood. And that was in the WikiLeaks, by word, right? The phrase spirit cooking at the time was used by nobody. It wasn't a part of popular culture. And these people are getting private invites to spirit cooking events led by Marina Abramović, who is an occult artist and I think just a really dark, very dark individual. I don't think anybody would disagree when you review her quote-unquote artwork. One of the darkest people on the planet. And she's celebrated by Microsoft, celebrated by Google. And as an art history minor, it's like her stuff is not talented. It's sick. It's ritual. It's not really art. It's ritual. You know, when you're covering yourself in blood, if that's part of your ritual, that's not art. It's part of your religious process. And so we uncovered stuff that the whole world should look into. Because otherwise, this past year of the pandemic, it's going to keep happening. These people at the so-called top, they'll say, hey, we still don't have what we want. We need this, this, and this. We need more booster shots. We need more lockdowns. It'll just never end until these people are no longer the elite. And that's where crypto comes in. That's where what Elon Musk is doing is actually 100% spot on correct. Even the Dogecoin stuff, which I don't really agree with, the Dogecoin promotion just draws more people into crypto. And once you learn anything about crypto, you know, not financial advice, but most people, when they actually read about crypto and begin to take it seriously, one of the first things they do is trade their Dogecoin or trade whatever shitty altcoin they're in for a real crypto like Bitcoin. And so what Elon Musk has done effectively is get millions of new young people into crypto who follow him on Twitter, who would not have gotten in if he had treated it so seriously. And said, hey, if he had said, hey, Bitcoin is such a serious thing, nobody would have really listened to him. So I don't think he's a dummy at all. I don't think he's a dummy, and I'm willing to even take the short-term loss on us as a company continuing to lose money because it seems like the market actually thinks that he's going to build an economy around Dogecoin. I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. I think that's just, again, his wedge to get the issue of crypto in the public consciousness. Once everybody knows about it, it's game over. Once you know that peer-to-peer money is a thing, and once you know that these people who ran the old system are not our peers at all, but are people obsessed with bloodbaths and molesting kids at Epstein Island, once you actually get that, once it actually clicks, once you get your aha moment, you'll never be the same person because you'll start to look for more and more freedom. And that's where peer-to-peer money comes in. So I'll leave this one here, but definitely read that book. And feel free to share the ideas in that book. You know, when you're done with it, leave it on a park bench or something. So, thank you guys.
As long as you're not expecting too much, life is good in 2021. If you're hearing these words, you've survived the pandemic. The world cheered as Coinbase, one of the earliest cryptocurrency wallet companies, listed on the NASDAQ, becoming a public company in the United States. Its millennial founder is already worth $12 to $16 billion, according to media estimates. And with the public focus on Coinbase, as well as broader concerns including possible conflict with China, the leading cryptos soared to new all-time highs in April. If you're crypto curious, or if you already have some crypto and want a fascinating new research view, check out our brand new book, link in the description, and also available in the Amazon Kindle store. Search for Winner Take All, Bitcoin Ether, and the Rise of New Money.